Church, today is the Sunday in the calendar of the church year we call Trinity Sunday. Please hear these words of Scripture that come to us in the Gospel of Matthew, the 28th chapter. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age." This is the word of the Lord. May the Lord be in our heart and on our lips, and we might worthily and fittingly proclaim him, both by our words and by our deeds. My brothers and sisters, I like to dance. And without boasting too much, I'm a good dancer. And I particularly like country western dancing. I like to do a little two-step. I love to waltz. And in my younger days, I could Shottish and Cotton Eye Joe with the best of them. Now, if you know anything at all about my background, you know that I am formerly a Roman Catholic priest. So like my wife, you might ask, where did you learn to dance? And I always tell her that we had brooms and mops in the seminary. But for some reason, she doesn't believe me. And if you spend any time watching television these days, you know that there's this growing number of dance shows on television. They've grown in popularity quite a bit. There's, of course, Dancing with the Stars that's been on there for years. And each year they pick stars, some young that I've never heard of or don't know, some old that I do know who probably shouldn't be dancing anymore. And now I understand there's even a new show. It's called The World of Dance, and it plays out pretty much like America's Got Talent. But one of the things that I think is so interesting about people when they're dancing is if the two persons who are dancing with one another, if the partners, are really good, if they're in step with one another and if they're in tune with one another, that pretty soon you no longer see the two individual persons so much as you see the dance itself. And you see the flowing and the movement of the two people dancing together, and that's where you put your focus. As I said, today is Trinity Sunday, and since the third and fourth centuries of the church, we have tried to talk about this whole thing of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the church has chosen to use the description of the movement of God, which is expressed in the Trinity as dance. It comes from a Greek word that means perichoresis, which means the dancing or the movement of God. In the history of our human race, we read that in Scripture, Yahweh reveals God's self to Abraham, this mysterious Middle Eastern man, and then on to the Hebrew people. And God reveals himself to these people and makes them aware that there is only one God, which was for them quite a change. They were a group of people that had grown up in a pluralistic, in a polytheistic society. So they believed that there were many gods, that there would be a god of the sea, and there'd be a god of love, and there'd be a god of war. And in God revealing God's self to Abraham and the Hebrew people, they learn that there is just one supreme being. Just one supreme being. And so now all of the children of Abraham, whether it's we as Christians who refer to that one supreme being as God, or our Muslim brothers and sisters who call him Allah, or our Jewish brothers and sisters who refer to him as Yahweh, recognize that indeed there is only one God. Now, in the course of time, this same God then chooses to reveal God's self to us and to come among us and to live among us as a human being. This is what we celebrate in the great feast of Christmas, God coming down to live among us in the form of Jesus Christ. So, brothers and sisters, in the person of Jesus Christ, we have the most of God that we will ever see. And we are the only faith belief that holds that God Almighty has come to live and dwell with us in human form. So if you want to know what God is like, if you want to know how God operates, if you want to know anything about God, all you have to do is look at Jesus. Look at the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. It's what we read about in Scripture here. It's what we preach about in this pulpit. Read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then last Sunday, we celebrated the great feast of Pentecost, the church's celebration of that wonderful gift, promised gift of God coming among us, the Holy Spirit. And what we learned when John was preaching in this pulpit last week is that when Jesus was about to leave his followers, he promised them an advocate. He said, I'll send you a friend, I'll send you help, I'll send somebody to remind you of everything that I've done. And that person will enable you to do the very same things that I do. And so, church, since the very early years of Christianity, the fathers and the mothers of the church have tried to understand this seemingly difficult, complex situation of one God, three persons, this Trinity. And they've tried to formulate and create and maintain a doctrine of the Trinity. And it has and is become for us the most central, the most important belief of Christians of every denomination. Just look at what we did this morning. We said the Apostles' Creed, I believe in the God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We sang the Gloria Patri, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We did the doxology to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We profess our belief in the Trinity week after week in this sanctuary, in our service of worship. And then a few minutes ago in the baptism of this beautiful baby, we did what we were commanded to do by today's scripture and baptized that child in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so very often when we pray to God, we end with words like in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I would imagine that most of you, like me, were taught somewhere along the line this whole basic doctrine that there is one God, three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But then because of the constraints of our human language, we've struggled how to express this concept for generations. So I would guess that many of you, like me, growing up as a small boy, were just told, hey, Joe, it's a mystery, just accept it. There's no way to explain it. Just accept it on faith. That's all you got to do. And we even have trouble in our images of trying to express the Trinity. So we use things like a triangle or a clover leaf. And then when we try to picture God, we have all these different images of God. So we have this old, long, white, bearded man. Or we have this good-looking, blonde, sandy-haired Jesus that we have in the Methodist Church. Or the Spirit, we don't know what to do with that, so we have this great big white dove. And we struggle with the words like Father, Son, Spirit to try to understand. So we sometimes use different words to express the activity of God. And we'll talk about the Creator. Surely He is. The Redeemer. He has surely done that. The Sanctifier, the one that makes us more holy. So let's be honest, my brothers and sisters, it's just hard to explain. But I've always believed that if this is intended to be the highest, the loftiest of all Christian beliefs, then it must make sense and have some practical application in our everyday lives. And that's why I've loved the image of the triune God as a dance. I've loved the image of the working of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as just movement and the flow in and out and around and among us and concentrating then on the flow. Because you see, brothers and sisters, every single human being on the face of the earth is created as a beloved child of God. And in that moment of creation by God, we become part of the movement of what God is doing in the world. We are initiated and we enter into the flow of what's happening. We are part of the flow of what is happening. And so like on a morning like this, when we raise our voices in prayer, when we sing these wonderful songs that have been chosen for us to sing, this morning, we're entering into the flow of what God is doing. And when we place our concern for brothers and sisters all around the world, whether it's people in war-torn countries or people who are starving in Africa, or whether what we're doing here at Highland Park to do what we can to try to end poverty just in this area where we are, and we show that kind of concern for people of all nations and races, we're entering into the flow of what God is doing. And when we do that, our whole framework changes. When we're in the flow of what God is doing, then it isn't me doing it, you see? But rather it's being done in me. It's being done through me. Isn't that the example that we have of Mary? The angel appears to Mary as a young girl and says, guess what? You're going to be the mother of the Savior. And she's saying, wait, I don't even have a husband. I'm 16. I don't even know how it's going to happen. But she ends up by saying, let it be done to me. Let it flow through me. And it's the same example of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane right before his crucifixion. And he's saying, God, listen, Father, if there is any other way we can do this, but not my will, yours, let it be done. Let it flow through me the way you would have it done. My brothers and sisters, the call on our lives as Christians is to be holy. That's the call on our lives. And holiness is simply this. Holiness is simply experiencing yourself as being used by God and allowing the movement of God to flow through us. That's holiness. Experiencing God is using you and let God flow through you to make His reign ever more present upon the earth. And so, brothers and sisters, we have the opportunity each and every day to either get in sync and get in tune and dance with God and to move with the flow of what God is doing, or we hinder the flow. And we hinder the flow sometimes by what we say, sometimes by what we do, sometimes by what we fail to say, sometimes by what we fail to do. So let me see if I can make this just a little bit more simple for us this morning. I believe that the role of God as Father is to be for us. To be for us. To be for us in good times, to be for us in hard times, to be for us when things are just going right, and to be for us when things are difficult and challenging. Church, God is for us. And it's been my belief for a long time that God wants three things for us. He wants us to be happy, He wants us to know peace, and He wants us to love His people. That's a God for us. The role of God as Jesus is to be alongside us. It's why God came into the world in the first place. To be with us as human beings, to show us how to live in right relationship with God and in right relationship to one another. And it is why we proclaim Jesus is Lord. Because if I can use a modern example, He is the template. He's the template, He's the blueprint of how we should live our lives in obedience to the will of the Father in all things. And so, church, God is alongside us. And the role of God as the Holy Spirit is to be within us, to dwell in us, and to be a daily, constant reminder of how, like Jesus, we're supposed to respond to this flow of God, to encourage us, to enable us, to enliven us. We don't have to look anywhere else. We don't have to look anywhere else for answers. We already have what we need. Because you see, church, God is within us. At the beginning of my sermon, I said to you that I like to dance, and especially country western dancing. And I mentioned to you also how skeptical my wife Suzanne was as to how I learned to dance. She still wonders to this day. My wife, Suzanne, grew up in Floydada, Texas, out in the panhandle. And she grew up with a bunch of young boys in Floydada who were good at farming and good at ranching, but they weren't such hot dancers. But fortunately for her, she learned to dance from her dad, who, as I knew her dad, I got to observe that He was a big, tall man, 6'3". He was really smooth on his feet on the dance floor. So the first time that Suzanne and I ever had an opportunity to dance together, we were at the State Fair of Texas. And we were standing out, walking in the plaza out there in front of the Cotton Bowl. And there was a bandstand on the side, and a country western band was playing. And I heard the music of that band strike up Ann Murray's song, "Can I Have This Dance?" And it's a waltz, and I love to waltz. Always been one of my ambitions, just to waltz across Texas. So I looked at Suzanne, and I said to her, "Would you like to dance?" And she must have thought that this former Catholic priest was a lot like one of those Floydada farm boys, that I was good at something other than dancing. So we started to waltz, and after about a minute, I stopped and I looked her in the face and I just said, "If you will just let me lead." "I've got this." She did, and it's been going pretty good ever since. You see, brothers and sisters, the movement of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, moving together is like a dance. And you and I, and every single human being, is invited to enter into the dance and be part of the flow of what God is doing in our world. And the Father is making God's will known to each and every one of us So we need to listen. And we need to discern. And we need to try to figure out what's ours to do. What are we supposed to be a part of to make the reign of God ever more present among us? And Jesus is showing us the exact way we need to respond to the Father's will by being obedient to that call, no matter what that obedience demands of us, to answer that call of God with faithful obedience. And the Holy Spirit's working in our lives to give us all that we need to follow that example of Jesus and the one that he set before us. In those times when we doubt and think that we don't know what to do or how to do it or whether we're capable or not. So brothers and sisters, we're invited to enter into the dance of God. But I'm going to have to tell you, you're going to have to let God lead. So not unlike me and Suzanne at the state fair, God looks each day at each and every one of us, and he looks us right in the face, and he says, if you'll just let me lead, I've got this. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.